You've just been notified that nuclear warheads are headed toward your country, and it's your job to make sure the people in charge know about it so they have enough time to respond in kind. The decision rests on you. Do you pass along the information as directed, or do you keep it to yourself in hopes that the detection systems in place are mistaken? Either decision could have enormous consequences. In today's episode, Jason and I dive into the idea of analysis paralysis and how it affects our lives and ways we get around it to be productive and really just functional. We even talk about the scenario I just laid out, which, crazy enough, is a true story that happened more than 40 years ago. This is a Really Very Crunchy podcast with your hosts, Emily and Jason Morrow.
Analysis paralysis is an inability to act due to overthinking a problem.
Inability?
That's what Google said.
You're still using Google?
What do you mean? That's what the internet said. That's what my Webster's dictionary said. No, it probably doesn't have analysis paralysis in it.
Yeah, actually. I guess that's sort of a trendy.
It's more of a phrase, anyway. It's like, stick to your single words dictionary. Leave the sentences to the pros. So I feel like I don't suffer from analysis paralysis like you do. You've got it kind of bad.
You've got it bad. Why are we always so drawn to sing like something?
I don't know that song.
What?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know that song? I think it's Backstreet Boys.
Oh, I certainly don't know that song.
Then. Come on, Jason.
Yeah.
Over there with your Google. Don't know Backstreet Boys.
I mean, I have heard of the band, if that's what you want to call it. But okay. No, I have not. I don't really
say,
know this song.
You know, like, I feel like for all the millennial listeners out there,
yeah,
there were two groups of girls. There were the Backstreet Boys girls and the NSYNC girls. And really, the only reason I was a Backstreet Boy girl is that that's the CD my parents gave me for my birthday was Backstreet Boys.
I thought
Boys.
It was two different time periods. Like, no. Backstreet Boys were NSYNC early and then
sustained.
NSYNC.
Sustained. NSYNC kind of, like, sustained. It lived on longer. And Backstreet Boys, I don't know.
Who had bigger hits?
Probably NSYNC with the Bye Bye Bye, and like, you know Bye Bye Bye, but you don't know You've Got It. Wait, is that even Backstreet Boys? Now I'm questioning myself.
You should.
When you're on the phone. Now, hangs up and it calls right back. Okay, we got to look this up.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm looking it up.
Yeah,
right
look
now.
It up.
Okay. You've Got It Bad. That's Usher.
Seriously? Seriously? You're like, how do you not know that song by the Backstreet Boys, Jason?
Well, I started questioning myself as I was singing it. I was like, wait, that's not Backstreet
Boys. To be honest, I wouldn't have known it if it were Usher, obviously. So
here's the thing. At my middle school dances, that song always played.
But not by the Backstreet Boys.
Maybe they did a cover.
I doubt it.
And we just don't know.
Maybe not.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm blushing. This just tells you how far removed I've always been, Jason. You're like, you were just telling me, who was that bearded guy on Hook that got put in the boo box? It was Glenn Close?
Yeah. It was actually Glenn Close. I was telling you some movie trivia about
That's
the movie
your
Hook.
Thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you love movie trivia.
Yeah.
And then I was like, who's Glenn Close?
Yeah, that's... But you know, like...
You said Sarah Plain and Tall, which I knew, but I still had to look it up because I don't remember what she looks like. I don't know anything
about...
Are you
face blind?
Celebrities?
For celebrities? Celebrity face blind?
Maybe. I don't know anything about music. It's kind of, you know, I will say...
You obviously don't know anything about music.
I just don't really listen to music much, and that's sort of an embarrassing thing to say, too, because people are like, what? Are you heartless?
Yeah.
I'm like, I like...
Well, okay. With our two boys, silence is gold.
It is. So if it's Raffy, I can point him out in a crowd and sing all his songs and tell you for sure that's him.
Yeah. But
Beyond
if it's
that,
Backstreet Boys, Usher was the lead singer. Apparently.
Okay. See, I told you the only reason I was a Backstreet Boy girl is because that's the CD my parents gave me, but I clearly was not invested.
We came up with this topic because, honestly, your analysis paralysis has gotten a little out of hand lately.
It's kind of severe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the most recent thing for you?
Okay, so I want to expand our home garden. We have 4 raised beds right now, and I really like them, but they're metal. And I want more of a natural look, and so we need to get some garden beds, raised beds. It self-admittedly, you are not the handiest of handymen, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I am also not very handy, so we need to buy a kit.
Yeah.
But in my mind, like, so I struggle with analysis paralysis because I want something to be absolutely perfect. But at our skill level, our budget, it can't be. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to settle. So it's very hard for me to make a decision. See, I want to go into the woods and find a fallen tree and take it to a sawmill and have it, you know, that's just not going to happen right now.
See, that's an easy decision for me. It's like, the decision is you can go do that.
I can't.
Or.
I need your help.
Oh, well, I mean, no, it's not that I won't. It's, I don't.
You won't. It's fine. You're busy. You have other priorities. That's fine.
That's no, that sounds so rude. Like, you won't help me. Like, that's not that I won't help you. It's that I don't think it doesn't, what you want doesn't exist in our woods.
That's not true.
And it's a much harder thing to come up with than you think.
There's a massive tree fallen right now.
Can I explain you a little bit to everyone? You have this, you get this idea in your head. And I look at it, and it is so monumentally difficult. But you think that it is just so simple because look at all, you're like, look at all the woods. It's got to be out there. No. And I'm like, no, that's like weeks of work to find the perfect type of wood, the perfect thing to cut.
There's a huge fallen tree now that's sort of freshly fallen. Like, within the last year. Okay. It feels right.
So we're just going to go get our giant chainsaw?
I know. That's the thing. We can't do it. I get it. Okay, so then I'm like, let's go gather the branches and we can weave them into raised beds. And you're like, you can do that. Go for it.
It's not going to work the way you think it's going to.
But why did I see it on Pinterest?
Because they lied.
Anyway.
It's a fake picture.
We're like well into spring. I didn't start any seeds because I have been like, what am I going to, where am I going to plant them? What am I going to, feeling this analysis paralysis. Like, so usually when I start seeds, we have like a little plastic greenhouse that we pull out and I like pull the seeds in. It's really inefficient. Doesn't even really work all that well. I end up getting seeds from my neighbor who invests in really good seeds and has, I think she has grow lights. I'm not sure. Her seeds are great. My seeds fail usually. So I usually use other people's plants that I'm gifted or I buy. And so like I didn't start seeds anyway. I have analysis paralysis. I'm buying grow lights. I've spent probably a couple hours looking at them.
So not too severe on the grow lights department.
No.
Okay.
That's beside the point. The point is, we're like well into spring. People are getting squash blooms already. And uh-oh. I don't have anything planted because I haven't bought
you need some late raised summer
beds.
Stuff.
I know. Pumpkins. I'm still good on pumpkins. You can plant those in July. Yeah. So I'm probably just going to go like dig out a spot in our yard and it'll likely fail.
Just don't do it over the septic field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is my most recent analysis paralysis. I can't pick a raised bed. Therefore, I'm just not picking one, but I'm still moving forward. And really, honestly, if you just ordered them, I would probably be fine with it. Because you're making that decision.
Let's see, I don't have a problem. Like, that's not a decision for me. Like, that's what I'm talking about. You have that problem. I don't. I'm like, we need raised beds. Cool. Here's a link. buy it next day. I don't buy it for you because I don't want mm-hmm. you to be disappointed. Yeah. That's not me not making a decision. It's just me letting you make the decision, which apparently is not what needs to happen.
Well, then, so once we get raised beds, how long am I going to spend trying to choose what to fill it with?
But you already bought the seeds and plants. You already know what you're filling it with.
No, I'm talking about the dirt and the compost and the, like, for our last ones, we did hugel culture.
Well, just get it from the water treatment plant. They have a ton of soil.
Jason, that is, okay, I'm not going to hate on it too bad because I've never gotten it there. And lots of people have tons of luck getting it from our city compost. However, here are my concerns.
Human waste.
Well, that's one concern. I have two concerns now. I've expressed this to you before. The human waste is an issue for me. We live in a place that is heavily populated with fast food restaurants. At one point, we were called the fast food capital of the world.
You're afraid the fast food is getting into
the human
soil?
Waste. Seed oils, like, are you able to digest that? The microplastics. Also,
are you afraid that pepper plant you plant's gonna come out with a Big Mac or something?
No, but you like if it's
why does
in
this
there,
taste like Taco John's? I don't understand.
If it's in the waste, it has to, at a molecular level, be getting into your plant. If that's like,
I don't know if that's true because I feel like that's. I think there's a process where, especially through human digestion, a lot of that is. Taken
Jason,
out, burned off,
no.
whatever.
Yeah, there are microplastics in poop.
But you think it goes from the soil, poop, and soil to the finished fruit of the plant?
I don't know. To me, there's a chance. So, microplastics, pharmaceuticals.
It's like there's this thing called Google. Should we look it up?
What about where they're getting their leaves and grass clippings and everything to make that happen? People,
pesticides,
treat their yard with whatever.
No, I mean, at some point.
Here I am, organic plants, being like insistent upon getting organic plants where the seeds aren't treated with clomipropion, imidacloprid. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. Like all of it, like having to follow certain specifications and guidelines. Or my friend, who I trust her opinion in mm-hmm. her seed gathering. All that, like, then is just disrupted because you're using grass clippings that have been treated.
But it's not just human waste. It's not just the grass clippings. It's a culmination of all those mm-hmm. things that your plants are growing in. I'm playing devil's advocate.
I get
just
it.
Just so you know.
You
I'm
don't
not,
think it matters.
No, I don't. No, it's not. I think it matters to a degree.
See, I think you've convinced yourself it doesn't matter because your favorite hot sauce made locally, the guy uses his compost from there, and you know that. And
you
you're
leave
like,
my hot sauce
I
alone.
Will not give up this hot sauce.
You leave my hot sauce alone.
I know. I'm
that human waste Paducah soil is fine.
Paducah.
Paducah.
Yeah.
But
it sounds like a place.
Paducah.
Yeah,
sorry,
it sounds like a place you could get really good human waste compost. Paducah.
Paducah. All right. Well, we're going to get into this a little deeper later. I do have some comments of the week that have absolutely nothing to do with analysis paralysis, but I did want to address them.
Okay.
All right. This one's from Holistically Anne Marie.
I like her name. Yeah. Sounds like she's going to have something positive to say.
Sounds like an ally.
Yeah.
In the Crunchyverse. Video, soccer jersey, which just very quickly, if anybody didn't see it, it's the one where we have our son's soccer jersey with tons of local businesses on it. And one being like True Green and other things. And you're taping it up to cover up the brands as the Crunchy Mom.
Because a part of the crunchy lifestyle is you don't want your kids to be a walking advertisement.
Right.
A lot of crunchy moms don't wear branded things or have characters on their clothes.
But the big part of it was at the end, you said, what's the most important thing to remember? And he says, have fun. And you say, yeah, that's important too. But, oh yeah, don't eat the snacks at the end of the game. Well, the The comment is, the snacks at the end of the game kill me a little. They run around for 20 minutes and suddenly need Gatorade, Goldfish, and Oreos. Killing me, Smalls. You know, that's a good point that I've never thought of before, is that how much are the kids actually running around?
Yeah, how much energy are they burning?
Because there's some kids subbing in and out, too, like, it's a lot.
Alder stands there on the field looking completely lost.
He gets way more exercise being at home than he does being in soccer.
Way more. He is not running. I mean, he might gallop a little if we're like, go, go, go.
Like, go get the ball. And then Oaks, he runs to it one time and then, yeah.
Oaks is like running all over the field, but it's because his coach is like, no, you're a forward. And he doesn't know what that means because it's his first year to play
soccer.
Stop
using technical language with me. I don't know sports, please.
He'll run for it, but then he is not burning that much. They aren't. Actively running 5 to 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so somebody else made the point of how they're like burning 100 calories per game and given like 500 calories worth mm-hmm. of snacks.
Yeah.
And it's mostly like Little Debbie type junk. Stuff.
It's hard for me to understand like the passion behind athleticism. And part of athleticism is
junk food,
treating your body well and exercising right. it. So then, like, why would we push this exercise and a healthy lifestyle, then just counteract it with junk?
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Thank you, Holistically, Anne-Marie.
Yeah.
For being on my side.
It's interesting. On the same video, Michelle Kenworthy wants to know, I totally get that this is satire. I think it's funny, so don't jump on me. But I do have a question. Do your kids understand the joke? Especially the younger one. As a mom of 8, I had a few very literal children who would think they really couldn't have the snacks. What do you tell your kiddos when they're helping make a video?
Okay. This is interesting because a lot of our satire, some of it is rooted in reality. My kids likely aren't getting the soccer snack, depending on what it is. I'm sometimes flexible, but sometimes, like, I just have an alternative.
Can I explain this in a very specific way on mm-hmm. this video? The difference is, in real life, you don't sit there and ask Oaks, what's the most important thing to remember? Mm-hmm. He says, have fun. You don't then say, no, it's don't eat the snacks at the end of the game. It's like, he says, have fun. And you're like, yeah.
The snacks don't really matter.
No, because...
And my kids don't put a lot of value in the item that they're going to be eating. They value experiences.
Yeah.
So, like, I think I did see a comment where it was like, but the snacks are part of the fun. And it's like...
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. Playing is the fun part. And they are getting good snacks from me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Why isn't everybody bringing a whole chicken and people are just like ripping it apart and eating it?
People probably see me as a bad guy. But, I mean, you just have to choose to teach your kids what you think it's important for them to learn. And for me, it's making healthy choices. And so, I do give them choices often. You know, and I've let them choose whether they want the snacks or not, if it falls within certain parameters, because I'll just put it out there. Food dye makes my kids crazy. And 99% of the stuff that people are bringing has dyes. So it's like off the table for us anyway.
All of that is to say that our kids understand that this is a crunchy mom video.
Yeah.
And that we're making a comedy video.
They get it.
They are very much a part of the process. And, you know, they'll even like say action for us. And so they know when the camera's out and we've got the microphones on, we're making a crunchy mom video and that they then like to watch afterwards.
They know that it's fake do it. We have Oaks walk up in that video. He walks up to me and we had him walk up to me like 4 times.
Yeah.
That's
what people don't understand mm-hmm. is that the whole process of us making a video very much so does not feel like a real moment.
No.
He walked up, like you said, he walked up like four times.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he's done, Ken's like, can I go play? I'm done. I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks for helping, buddy.
I mean, they see the videos like where they're playing with the toys and Alder's like, I will make you wear polyester.
Mm-hmm.
And even your sister messaged and was like, how'd you get them to say their lines so perfectly? It's like, because they're not even saying their lines when they're on the video. Because
yeah.
We don't show their faces. You just see the back of their head moving. We told them to wiggle and wiggle the toy. So They know that, like, they know it's fake. And I feel sort of bad because I feel like we've ruined the magic of Hollywood for them. We just took them to see the Wild Kratts show. And the Wild Kratts show live in Nashville. It's a stage performance of Wild Kratts.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like their miniaturizer, which is supposed to shrink them down. And Alder looked up at me and he was like, why is he holding a plate?
Instead of a miniaturizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can see it. And then the costumes, there was one where he turned into a snake. And it was really cool the way it was like slithering across the stage. And Oakes was like, he has wheels under that.
Yes. Like, yeah, but he loves it. He loves it.
They do love it.
They love the production side.
There's a part where they like destroyed a Zackbot, which is a bad robot.
Uh-huh.
And whenever they were behind a piece of stage set, they saw like springs flying across and it looked like they were breaking the robot. And Oakes was like, there are guys backstage throwing things on stage. Like, we've totally ruined it for you.
But I also think it helps him think critically and creatively because he loves it. He actually, and just so people know, we're not forcing our kids to play in these videos.
No, we always ask.
We ask them, do you guys want to do a Crunchy Mom video with us? And they're like, yeah.
They love it.
They love the process of making it. If they didn't,
show their faces, though.
I mean, yeah, but we came to the conclusion that we don't feel like they're old enough to make the decision to publicly reveal themselves to the world. I don't know.
Okay, let's get back to the topic at hand. I want to hear more about this guy who saved the world because he didn't have analysis paralysis. And then maybe we could bat around some hypothetical ideas.
Yes, let's do that right after this ad break. So, this man, Stanislav Petrov, I guess that's how you pronounce his Russian name. On September 26, 1983, the world almost had a nuclear holocaust. The Russian detection system for nuclear weapons detected that the U.S. had fired 5 nuclear warheads at Russia. And this guy's job, Mr. Petrov's job, was to relay the information to the people higher up that, hey, people are shooting nukes at us. And so the rule is, which we have the rule in America, but the rule is that they all live by, is that if somebody is shooting a missile at you, you go ahead and shoot a whole bunch of missiles back at them and create a nuclear holocaust for everybody. It's a deterrent, I guess. It's like we have this doctrine in place that we will fire our nukes if you fire at us. So I guess the idea is to stop people from firing their nukes at you.
Yeah, makes sense.
If you do it, you're going to get hurt too.
Mm-hmm.
He had 5 minutes to decide whether or not he's going to tell it, because in 5 minutes, those nukes are going to drop and they got to get rid of theirs. He made the decision not to. What they found out later was that it was a glitch in their computer. The satellites detected some kind of reflection off of the clouds, detected it as launched missiles, and it was just a false alarm. So if he had gone to the Russian leaders and said, hey, they launched nukes at us, and they get out the little briefcase, punch in a few little codes, launch their nukes, and then America would then launch real ones, and so you and I would not be sitting here talking on a podcast. The whole world could have changed if he had told people, his higher-ups, that the nukes were dropping.
And he is like a hero because of this.
Well, he
saved the most lives ever.
He has saved more lives
in one event.
Right. by not, but making the decision not to report that. I'm curious with your, you have a little analysis paralysis. How would you feel in that situation? Is that kind of a type of situation where you'd find yourself frozen?
See, I would be the hero here as well, because I would have just frozen and not decided anything. And then time would have passed. We would have figured out and I would have been like, yes. So my theory is that this guy actually did have analysis paralysis and didn't decide that. And it just worked out for him. Because that's a huge decision. But he wasn't the one punching in the numbers for the nuclear code, whatever, whatever. He just had to tell his higher ups.
Yeah, but they would have gone off of what he said to make the decision.
Yeah.
So, essentially, he has his finger on the button. Mm-hmm. Essentially.
He has his finger on the finger that's on the button.
I guess.
He is the type of guy that's not allowed to have analysis paralysis. I'm sure there are lots of jobs like that.
Yeah, you think so?
Well, yeah. I mean, think about like, I don't know, a wedding planner. They can't have analysis paralysis because they have to plan someone else's wedding. Like, they are hired so that someone else won't have analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
Or
it could be a disaster if you're a wedding planner and you have analysis paralysis.
I haven't made any choices. You wouldn't be in business very long.
I could think of another one where it would be terrible to have analysis paralysis.
What's
a job? Taxi driver.
I don't know which way to go.
Yeah,
GPS, obviously.
You know,
well, if you're a real solid taxi driver, are you using GPS these days?
You shouldn't be.
Yeah.
No.
You got to give the full experience.
Well,
where are you going?
The best know what's outside of the GPS. Like, yeah. They know how to get there the quickest.
Yeah.
But your traditional old school taxi driver cannot have analysis paralysis, or he will not be a taxi driver. He will not be a taxi driver for very long.
Like, when you envision a taxi driver, aren't you thinking of somebody with a Boston accent?
Or New York, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So,
typically,
if you have that accent, you're not allowed to struggle with analysis paralysis.
They just don't have analysis paralysis in the East,
yeah,
on the East Coast.
It's not in their genes.
No. They're just decisive people.
Yeah.
There's like, no, I don't have time.
I don't have time
for this. I have no time for analysis paralysis. I have my day. I want to get through my day. I'm going to go. Yeah. Okay. I thought of another one.
Urologist?
I mean, it's pretty straightforward, I would think, if you're studied.
Okay. What did you think of?
Urologist. I don't know whether to tell him or not if he has kidney stones. It's a big one, but he'll be mad about it.
Like, I'm sure there's more to it than that, Jason.
Probably.
Okay.
Acrobats.
Yeah.
Should I let go?
Do I?
Is this the right time to
catch him?
Yeah.
My friend isn't. Well, I guess that's the same as a wedding planner. I was going to say my friend's an interior designer. I have been searching for the perfect couch for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I would call that analysis paralysis. And, like, she couldn't do that. She's not allowed to have analysis paralysis.
Why?
She's making someone else's choices. I think that's
what do you mean?
Where
she's making choices for what? Explain.
Interior design.
Oh.
She's choosing people's house, you know, everything. They want their room decorated. And they want it decorated now.
Yeah.
So, like, you just can't wait on that kind of stuff. So, I think what it boils down to job-wise is when other people are relying on you, you can't have it.
Like a surgeon.
Surgeon.
Yeah.
Or even a flower farmer. Not to get back on the raised beds, but those flowers are going to grow. They're blooming. Don't put it off. You got to just plant them.
I guess. I think surgeons are way worse. With much higher
think
consequences.
Think of all the weddings coming up. People are going to need their flowers. Mother's Day is only 2 weeks away.
What if the flower farmer is also the wedding planner and they suffer from severe analysis paralysis?
You mentioned before this podcast that you had some scenarios you were going to run by me to see my reaction.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, hypothetically, deciding whether to go public with a piece of information that could benefit the public but harm someone you care about.
Is it emotional harm? Because I feel like I do this all the time with content creation. Like, I remember one. I made a joke about a kid biting another kid. And that kid, like, had cried it out. And that's why he bit that kid. But that actually happened to me. And I forgot that my friend had her kids cried out. And that's fine because that's what worked for her family. Listen. She is, like, steady in that decision. She is happy with her decision. And her kids are happy. But her kid bit our kid. And then, like, I thought about all that.
Can I say this, though? Can I say this,
It was subconscious that I wrote that, and that was in our early days.
But the joke...
But she wasn't even
But the joke
offended.
Was that it was because they cried it out. And in real life, you're not saying...
Yeah.
...that the kid bit our kid because they cried it out.
I know. That's...
That's the joke.
But it did just so happen to have happened, and I didn't think about it. And then later, I brought it up to her... To, like, apologize.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I didn't even notice. So, I do that a lot.
I don't even watch your stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have another one.
Okay.
Our kids, you really want them to play music, but they choose soccer, which is sort of what happened. Do you suffer from analysis paralysis on that?
You're saying, basically... What they're good at versus their passion.
Yeah, sure.
And would I have analysis paralysis helping them determine which way to go?
Yeah.
That's not the kind of thing I have analysis paralysis about. Because I am pretty much always going to say whatever makes you happy. Like, I mean, we're not talking about morally or...
Or just all of parenting in general.
No.
Just certain things.
Just in extracurriculars.
Right.
And it's so funny that you have to do all those, like, caveats.
Yeah.
But in extracurriculars, I'm pretty much going to tell my kids, whatever makes you happy, even if you're not that good at it and you're better at this. But I don't know that I would always answer that because I'm thinking right now, when he was 3 years old, I put Alder in violin. And he didn't really care for it. He was motivated to try, but then as the lessons wore on, he didn't really enjoy it. And I remember I have this rug and I was like, wait, this is going to be our practice mat at home, sort of trying to make it where practice could happen more regularly because if you have this habit, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So like a Pavlov kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, he didn't want to practice. And I'm like, no, we're practicing. We've made this commitment. We are practicing. We're standing on the practice rug. I like have his hand under my hand, hand over hand, holding the violin. I've got my other hand, hand over hand, holding the bow. And I'm like, pepperoni pizza, pepperoni pizza. That's one of the beats for the type of music that we were learning. Anyway, he's not doing it. And he doesn't care. And he's like trying to flop down. So I've got my knee like propping up his butt to keep him standing. You know, he's not even trying. And I had this out of body experience where I was like, this is not going to instill a love of music for this child.
You just from
wish
above.
Wish I had a motorcycle. Wish I had him. Like, it was a little bit of an intense moment. And then I just finally was like, okay, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to do this. We're done. You don't have to do this. You do not have to play violin. And I am okay with that.
Did you literally see yourself from above holding him up, doing the bow?
Play!
Get on the music mat now!
You will love violin. You will play! And when I told his teacher, she's like, oh, good.
Yeah.
We're done.
He should go to soccer.
Yeah, we're not.
Stands there with his hands in his pockets.
I know. We're still searching for his passion. So I have one for you.
Oh, okay.
Because No, I know that you struggle with analysis paralysis, and I'm going to find the spot.
Mm.
Okay. So it has to do with technology. You could get the nicest camera ever.
Okay, I'm listening.
Or you could have pretty good everything, like pretty good sound setup, pretty good camera, pretty good computer. Like,
it's not difficult at all.
What?
No, you buy the camera, start a business, save up money to get all the really good stuff.
So basically what you've done.
Yeah.
You actually, yeah, you're right. Okay. You had a camera. You bought a pretty nice camera, right?
I had a very cheap camera. I started with a very cheap camera, started a wedding business, used money from the wedding business to then buy nicer equipment and built it up from there. That's exactly what I did. It is not analysis paralysis in the least bit. You make compromises until you don't have to.
Oh, that's a good make compromises until you don't have to. Wow.
There you go.
I'm having a breakthrough moment here because I'm like, no, it needs to be perfect right off the bat. So I just don't do it. And you're like, no, we're going to build it one stepping stone at a time.
I have found that it's particularly it might be a little different when you're talking about like hobbies and stuff, but I was trying to turn it into a legitimate business, which it started as a hobby.
No, but I really like what you said. Make compromises until you don't have to. And I see that in you, and I'm so proud of you for that.
Oh, well, thanks.
Because, like, with your wedding business, you did the first 2 or 3 weddings for free.
Maybe the first 5.
Might have been a little excessive.
Oh, I wanted to get good at it.
Yeah, first. So then you had a portfolio.
Yeah. After this ad break, I want to get into your personality.
Okay.
Type and how it might have something to do with your analysis paralysis.
So I can't help it?
That's not necessarily true. I have no idea. I'm not a scientist. I just Google things. Your personality type. What is that? Myers-Briggs? Is that what that is? ENFP.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're extroverted, intuitive, feeling, perceiving. Some people put a lot of stock into that. Some people don't. I understand.
Even some people who are against those, like way against them.
And
so
they all have their valid points, whatever. That's not really my point. Mm-hmm. And
you don't follow it religiously.
Certainly not.
Yeah, not making life decisions based on your personality type.
But it does produce some interesting anecdotes.
Mm-hmm.
So anecdotally, a hallmark feature of being an NP type is struggling with doubt and indecision. Doubt can pervade and disrupt any aspect of their lives, be it their careers, relationships, worldview, or identity. For some NPs, this propensity can be debilitating, engendering a sense of aimlessness, paralysis, or even nihilism. I don't think you're that deep. I don't think you're at the point of like, nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
The decisions are too hard. I quit.
I will say I've never quit. I was watching.
Well, wouldn't you say that never taking action is a form of quitting? On certain parts. I'm not saying like life in general or just like such a, blah attitude about
everything.
Okay, but
I read this story about this guy and he was wanting to change careers.
Mm-hmm.
And he became so overwhelmed by the decision that he didn't take either career and actually quit going to work because he was so unhappy. So there's obviously he needs some therapy or some help.
I mean, there's a lot of.
So, but I haven't ever struggled with it to that degree.
Right.
Where I'm just not doing anything.
Right.
So I think that we understand as people talking about this topic that there are deeper issues and deeper things. And
certainly,
like sometimes it's not just a matter of making a choice.
No. Yeah. And
like there are mental health.
We're definitely talking about this on a
lighthearted level.
Well, on a much more surfacey level. Mm-hmm. Though, it has been said of you by many people in the comments that they are pretty sure, which it's hard to make that determination because it is scripted, but you do act, but a lot of times you sort of are playing yourself, but to a different degree.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have diagnosed you with ADHD in the
comments.
There's
a lot of stuff going on in the interwebs about ADHD.
Yeah.
And anytime I see a video that's like, you might have ADHD if da 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 da.
Or if you see a comment that says, wow, she looks or seems like she has ADHD.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably self-diagnose myself as mildly ADHD.
Well.
But some people say that's not even real. Some people say it's not real. Lots of people say it is real. Who do you trust? Who do you trust in this world, Jason?
Yeah.
Certainly not Google.
As I have been told.
It's so tricky. And even in medicine, there are so many money grabs. It's hard to get into. It's so hard to trust anyone.
It's really hard to trust anyone who has a stake in the game, who stands to make money from...
Be it books or whatever. I mean,
like even just advice books or who's content. Selling a seminar, content creators. Yeah.
They can, sell workshops. Or
well, you actually talk about that in your book too. Yeah. It's like, don't just trust everything you
don't
see.
Don't blindly follow them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway.
Question everything.
I mean... Do your own research, but not on Google, apparently. I'm going to list some traits of ADHD.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me if you experience these or not. Impulsiveness.
Not really. Maybe. A little. It depends. What?
She can't decide. The reason I ask this is because did we clarify that one of the reasons... listed for analysis paralysis is potentially ADHD.
Or anxiety.
Or anxiety.
So I am healing from anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And, it could be. But no, so impulsiveness, I'm not just going to do something dangerous, you know?
Right.
But I will make a rash decision sometimes. When I think it's a good idea.
Should I remind you of the first episode where you said, hey, let's go to Korea, and we were there a month later.
Exactly.
Hey,
that's the kind of
let's go work at Boys Town. We're there a month later.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go live in an RV.
Maybe a little impulsive.
Slightly impulsive on large
life
huge. Decisions.
Yeah, big life decisions. Mega impulsive.
You're like, let's just sell everything and go do this. But like on the micro decisions.
Garden
just,
beds.
You can't even move. Yeah. Are you disorganized? I have probably never met a more disorganized person in my life. Other than potentially myself.
Do you know why I have so many baskets? Baskets hold things. Shove it all into baskets.
It's...
Baskets for everything. But then it's just a mess.
And it's just a wall of baskets.
I feel deep shame over the state of my car most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, if I need help carrying something, I'm not going to take help because I would never want anyone to see in my car.
It's pretty bad. You should feel that deep shame.
I am so disorganized. My mom said, like, she has never seen a laundry room quite the likes of ours.
Quite like yours.
Somebody messaged me and they were like, I would love to see some of your crunchy systems. Like,
system? What do you mean,
what
system?
What do you do with your used dish towels when you don't have paper towels? So you use dish towels. Like, I have 5 million of them, so I can just throw them in the laundry room and get to it when I can.
But they don't go to a laundry room specific dish towel basket. They
no,
go to
it's just whatever.
The floor. The
or
laundry
the whatever.
Room floor.
The whatever basket.
Yeah.
Don't take advice from me ever on anything.
How's your time management?
Listen, my time management is actually pretty good, Jason.
Okay.
I'm always the first one there at Forest Friends, almost always, usually. Every other mom is running 10 minutes late, too.
Okay.
So part of my time management issues are that we moved out to the country. So it's harder for me to...
Just add 20 minutes.
No, it's... Yeah, but sometimes if you hit the green lights right, it's only 10. And I used to be super early for everything until I had children. And then there are other people you have to worry about. And really, if I'm usually pretty prepared, the problem is when you give me too much extra time, then I'm like piddling around and getting distracted and going from here to there. And then I'm like, oh, we gotta go. But I hate being late. I hate being late. Usually I'm right on time or just a little late, and it's not my fault. It's the kids.
Do you have trouble multitasking?
I can do a million things all at once. Do I do them well? I don't know.
Excessive activity and restlessness, or restlessness.
Do you see my feet in this whole thing? I'm like...
That one's hard to determine.
I'm not really excessively active.
Poor planning.
What?
Yeah. You're not a planner.
Oh, what do you mean?
You're not a planner.
I mean...
How many times have we gone on a trip and...
No, that's just immersing yourself in the place. I hate planning something like a trip. Yuck.
Well, how many times have we gone on a trip and like half the things were missing from that would normally go inside
pajamas.
A suitcase?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I didn't pack any pajamas for us. Oops, forgot my hairbrush.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, didn't bring anything actually. I didn't even pack a suitcase.
Have you ever made a packing list?
No. Boring. Yuck. Who's gonna sit down and be like, here are the things that I need to pack.
Yeah.
Toothbrush, toothpaste. Duh, you need those things, but I don't grab them.
People make lists so they don't forget them. It's not that they didn't know that they should take them. It's that they put it on the list so they don't forget it.
Yeah. I sometimes like to pretend I'm that type of person. Like, I sent out a text the other day to my Forest Friends group because I was going to get us tickets to go see the show. And I was like, oh, no, I was making a group for my Forest Friends. Everything revolves around Forest Friends. No, I was making a group and I was like, I would love to check this off my to-do list today. As if I had a to-do list. But it felt really good in that one moment for people to think, wow, she's really got it together. She's going to check that off her to-do list. And it made people respond.
Oh.
Usually I'm like, would love some input here. And then I get like one person. But whenever I said, I want to check this off my to-do list, people were immediately like,
so people respect the to-do list.
Yeah. People respect type A personalities. They're like, they're getting it done.
Yeah.
I'm not type A or type B. Type C.
Whatever that is. Do you have a low frustration tolerance?
That's also really up in the air.
Yeah.
These questions are not with kids. Man, a kid can be like so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And I can take it.
Yeah.
Your frustration tolerance is much lower.
Much lower.
But things like I wanted something done and I wanted it done a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, then, yeah, like,
yeah.
Mega frustration.
Right. Frequent mood swings? I think you're great on that. Problems following through?
I really don't think I have mood swings.
No, I don't think so either. Problems following through completing tasks?
I feel like this is really just your opportunity to like hound me a little. Like,
I'm just going through what I found.
Talk about your life, Emily.
Listen, this could be complete bull because I got it on Google.
Okay, did you choose this whole thing based on this questionnaire? Because the last two podcast episodes, I've been like, let's talk about your anger.
You're right. Yeah.
Let's talk about your.
That's funny. The next one is, do you have a hot temper?
I don't.
No.
I don't have a hot temper.
I don't think so.
But wait, let's go back. Because
trouble
the last
coping
one...
with stress.
Yes. What was the one that you just asked?
Frequent mood swings.
No.
Next. Oh, completing tasks.
Completing tasks. Yeah, through. I really have a hard time on that because I see one thing and like I will even be like, I have to see this task through, like getting a load of laundry done. and I leave that room and I walk by something else.
Ooh, a flower. Ooh,
look at that. Oh.
Look, boys, there's a frog on the front porch.
Oh, let's go get the frog. Oh, wait, I wonder where he came from.
7 hours later. Let's walk
to, and then I'm like, oh, man, I was going to do that laundry, and I was going to see it through. I'll do it tomorrow.
It's just laundry. That frog's not going to be there, necessarily.
I know. Snake could get it. I think sometimes it's a good thing. Charlotte Mason even said, let the mothers play.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I'm let really hardcore Charlotte Mason.
I think, so that's the list. I think from that list, it's actually pretty hard to determine.
50-50.
Obviously, you would need to be professionally evaluated. But I think a lot of these things on the list, it's like you could almost say yes to all of them and to some degree. But like, and some of them, it's like, yeah, you maybe you've had impulsiveness or whatever in your life, but that doesn't make you a perpetually impulsive person. So no, I'm also
very like I have a lot of self-control in some areas.
I think that it this is just kind of for fun.
Yeah.
And we're obviously not trying to make a true determination of whether or not you have
just for kicks.
Yeah. So
but how does it play into the analysis paralysis, right? That's ultimately what we're getting at. And I did, after you told me about this topic, I was like, well, I wonder if there are things you can do.
Oh, absolutely.
To kind of minimize that. Because I know for a fact one of my issues is that there are too many choices.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancestors just lived in the present. They just, like, everything they did was kind of reactive or...
Well, they didn't have everything at their fingertips.
Yeah.
That they could just like, well, I could do this.
They needed a chair. It's like, hey, mom, you got any extra chairs lying around?
Or they go and make their chair or something. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons that it's taken me 3 years to pick a couch is because I want it to be green and I want it to be stuffed with wool and I want the fabric to be Okotex certified and also cotton.
That actually should make the linen. That should no, shouldn't no, that no. make the decision easier because there's like two companies that hit all those marks. You just don't necessarily
don't like what like they have. That's what they the offer. Problem.
So some of the ways to address analysis paralysis, according to some things that I've read, is like setting a deadline for yourself to make a decision. Like, I have to make a decision on the couch or the flower bed or whatever by, which really on the garden beds, you sort of do have a timeline.
Yeah.
It was last week. So now you're, so that doesn't help because you're like, well, it's already too late. But not really.
Yeah.
If you set a deadline of like, okay, let's say May 15th, I have to have ordered it and get it on the way. Well, you're going to have to make the decision, whatever it is. Or I have to decide on this thing.
Even in micro decisions, you could give yourself like 3 minutes.
I have 3 minutes to decide
what I'm going to wear.
Well, the other another one ties into what you said earlier. Resist being a perfectionist. And that's kind of the issue that you had. You like you want this Pinterest looking thing. Well, you don't have to be a perfectionist starting out. And that kind of goes into, well, you don't start with a nice camera. You start with a junky camera and work your way up. If you want a chicken coop, you don't start with the nicest chicken coop that you can buy. You start learning how to raise chickens. How do you know
that was what I was going to... No, well, sometimes you have to just jump into it, too. There are times where you just have to jump into it and learn as you go, depending on your learning style. Because that's another form of analysis paralysis, is you just want to research it to death until you're like, well, I'm done. But I went to a girl's house. I went to one of my friend's house. She keeps chickens. And I was surprised to see her chicken setup was basically like a dog pen with a tarp over it. And it works great. And she gets massive amounts of eggs.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. But in my mind, like, that wasn't even ever an option to just, like, make this chicken coop that isn't your idea of what a chicken coop is. You know,
well,
like
that probably highlights another problem in that, you know, this Pinterest life, this Instagram life of this is how everything should always look.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in reality, your chickens just need a safe place to lay their eggs.
Yeah. Your chicken doesn't care about how its coop looks.
End of the day, you're just making omelets.
Mm-hmm.
To then make your human waste at the Paducah plant, water treatment plant.
And apparently, maybe at the end of their life, take that rotisserie chicken to the soccer game.
You never know.
I heard a piece of advice that was obviously in the end, we're all going to say hindsight is 20/20.
On no matter what you do.
But we don't have hindsight.
Right.
When we're making our decisions. So what are you afraid of? Just do it. That is, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to answer those questions so that you can move on. Truly, these raised beds don't matter. What I want are the flowers that are growing from the raised beds or the vegetables that are growing. So that doesn't matter. I shouldn't be afraid of anything.
Right.
The raised beds aren't going to affect whether or not I can. That's not the determining factor for the growth of my plants.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on the process rather than the end result.
Mm-hmm.
How long are you going to give yourself to decide on your flower beds, Emily?
I'm going to pick them tonight.
Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I have your word on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm like panicking inside.
Well, I think they'll be wonderful. And I'm excited to help you with them. Because I get peppers. You've already ordered me a whole bunch of peppers and I'm excited about
it. I know. You wanted a pepper bed so you could make your own non-human waste hot sauce. Thank you so much for listening to the Really Very Crunchy Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure you leave it a positive review and check out our show notes for more great things from Jason and me, such as my book or our social media channels. What else is in there, Jason? You type the show notes.
The person who's playing the music right now.
Yeah, it's my sweet friend, Shannon.
Yeah. And links to all our socials. And yeah. So thank you for listening and can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, before you go, I just wanted to tell you I have a book. It's called Really Very Crunchy, A Beginner's Guide to Removing Toxins from Your Life Without Adding Them to Your Personality. If you're interested in the crunchy lifestyle, you're a seasoned pro, or you just want a fun, entertaining read, head over to your favorite book retailer's website and just search Really Very Crunchy. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and maybe you might learn a thing or two. I should know because I did all three while writing it. Again, just search Really Very Crunchy wherever you buy books. Available in print, ebook, or audiobook.